Welcome to installment number 319 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains four commandments, all relating to the application of justice. Prohibition number 280 adds an additional prohibition to the general prohibition of unfair justice. In this case, a prohibition, an extra prohibition for unfairly judging a convert or an orphan. Positive commandment number 177 is to treat all the litigants in a case equally. Prohibition 276 is a prohibition on a judge not to be afraid of a strong, powerful person who is threatening him. And prohibition number 274 is a prohibition not to take a bribe. Prohibition 280, as we mentioned, is the prohibition against perverting justice against a convert or an orphan. As related in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, 17, Leisate mishpat ger yosem, one may not turn judgment against an orphan or a convert. In the last commandment of yesterday's portion, Prohibition 273, we learned that there is a general prohibition against perverting justice in any court case against anyone. And we must pay discussed at that time that when the contra determines that in a certain case, stating this to a person, one person will be guilty, this person must pay money, and so on. If the judge is added off contrary to this law of the Torah, he is violating this biblical prohibition against perverting justice. And this applies to anyone. What is added on in Prohibition 280 is another prohibition. As the Rambam brings from this Sifri, that if someone perverts justice and gives an incorrect verdict against a convert to Judaism, a righteous convert who has become a full-fledged Jew, he already is violating Prohibition 273, because the convert is no less protected than any other Jew. However, should he pervert justice against a convert, the judge is violating two prohibitions. Prohibition 273 from yesterday's portion of the general prohibition against perverting justice, and in addition, Prohibition 280, this prohibition against perverting justice against a convert. And adds the Sifri, let's say that this convert was also an orphan. In that case, the judge would get three prohibitions. One, 270, would be 273, the general prohibition. And in Prohibition 280, he would get one prohibition, one time, for perverting justice against a convert, and another for perverting justice against an orphan, since this person was all three, a full-fledged Jew, and a convert, and an orphan. He would get three different prohibitions. Positive commandment 177 is a general positive commandment for a judge to dispense justice fairly. As a verse in Leviticus 19, verse 15 states, but tzedek tishpeit amisecha, you should judge your neighbor with righteousness. And the Rambam mentions there are several subcategories included in this general commandment of righteous justice. One of them is discussed by the Sifra, which states that one is prohibited, a judge is prohibited from allowing one of the litigants to relate at length all of his different arguments, and when it comes to the other litigant, to say, okay, state your arguments briefly. This is showing unfairness in judgment, and one is required to treat both litigants absolutely equally. And as the Rambam brings more detail in his legal code, that one is forbidden also from speaking roughly to one of the litigants and softly to another. So too, if one is a rich person and comes dressed in fine clothing, and one comes in ragged clothing due to his poverty, one is required to tell the rich person, you have a choice. Either dress in clothing like the poor person, or lend more honorable, fine clothing comparable with yours to the poor person, so that when you stand before us in judgment, you should not even appear different. This is all part of this commandment of treating both of them absolutely equally, and we see that it reaches even to appearance sake. A second subcategory of this commandment is that a judge who is fit to judge, an expert in law, is required to hear and issue opinions in court cases. that should he be expert and start to listen to a case, he is required to issue an opinion should he be fit to do so. As our sages also bring the same verse that you should judge your neighbor in righteousness, this is also a commandment to judge, to issue a judgment should you so be fit. The Talmud and the Rambam in his legal code speak at length, however, about a person who is not fit to judge and the tremendous arrogance and damage which he brings to the world as a result of his desire to be a judge even though he is really not fit. Another subcategory of this commandment is to judge people favorably, lakaf schus, that if their word could be interpreted both in a favorable or unfavorable way in a different context, one should look at them in the positive light. You should assume that it is being said in a kind way and in a good way if there is any ambiguity. This, incidentally, does not contradict the law which the Rambam brings in his legal code that before the judgment is issued, the judge should look at both litigants as if they are wicked, because one must look at them as they're wicked and probe all of their statements to see what exactly it is that they are saying and assume that they might be lying. However, once they make a statement, if they make a statement, then we have to assume that the statement is a positive statement and not a negative one. This commandment that Rambam tells us is discussed with all of its ramifications various places in the Talmud. In his legal code, the Rambam mentions another interesting facet of justice, that the first one that gets precedence in a court case is an almana, a widow. Even should a great Torah scholar and a widow come for a court case, the widow goes first, and only then the Torah scholar. And so too in general, a woman's case is presented before a man's case. And the reason is given because a woman feels more shame having to stand in court. Therefore, we allow her case to go first, so she should not have to endure the shame of waiting there in the court. Not only is the judge required to treat all people equally, but we see from the stories of our sages that they are assisted, they get heavenly assistance once they make up their mind to do so. The story is told of a poor person who came to Rav, who was the head of the court in Bavel, and called the richest person in town to a court case, a very rich person. And although he was afraid to do so, he had confidence that Rav would judge them fairly. After hearing this, Rav said that he's going to summon the rich man to court, and both of them will present their case the next day. A messenger was sent from the court to call this rich man, who refused to come, saying, "I am so rich that with all of my money I should appear with this in the same manner as a poor person. I stand equally in judgment with him. I refuse to go." When the messenger reported this to Rav said, "What is he boasting about? All of his money came from heaven, and all of his money could vanish in an instant." As soon as the Rav uttered these words, a messenger came from the king of Babylon to this rich person, holding in his hand a decree. And the decree was read in the presence of many of the king's soldiers, who said that the king is taking away all of his wealth and is putting him into slavery, that he would have to do hard labor for the rest of his life, because the king is afraid of all of his wealth, and therefore it is being taken away from him. The rich man was stunned. He cried and asked for permission, that he immediately realized that this was punishment because of his arrogant answer that he sent back to the court with the messenger. He pleaded for another chance to speak with Rav, and after finally permission was granted, he went before Rav and cried, praying that his soul should be purified and let him at least go through the court case with this poor person. Rav realized that the person was truly repentant and truly regretted what he had said, and therefore prayed to Hashem to have mercy. And shortly afterwards, another decree was sent from the king, saying that the king decided that he let you get away this time with a warning that you should not get carried away with your wealth, but it is being given back to you. Prohibition 276 deals with one of the harsh realities of being a judge, that occasionally a judge would have to render an unfavorable judgment against a person who is a wicked person, a strong person, who might take revenge against the judge. The judge is prohibited from withholding this judgment for fear of the results of his judgment. that he must issue the judgment clearly without worrying about the result. As the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 17 states, Leisoguru mipnei ish, one should not be afraid of any person, but rather issue the judgment clearly without concern as to what should happen, what will happen. As the Sifra explains, that the judge must not think to himself, perhaps this person that I declare guilty will kill my son, or perhaps he will destroy my produce, set it on fire, or rip up all of my crops from the ground. Because the judge might think this could in many cases be a real concern, the Torah tells him, Leisogur mipnei ish, do not be afraid of any man. Judge righteously and Hashem will protect you to ensure that no harm will happen to you as a result of issuing a righteous judgment. In his legal code, the Rambam brings another ramification of this law, that if a student is sitting before his teacher, and the teacher is hearing a court case, let's say between a poor person and a rich person, and his teacher has determined that the poor person is righteous, that the rich person is righteous, but the student found a reason why the poor person should win the case, and he withholds his judgment, either for fear of offending his teacher, or because of fear of offending the rich person, the Rambam decides that this student is also transgressing this prohibition of loisogur mipnei ish, which could be translated, do not be afraid of a person, referring to either his teacher or the rich person, and also loisogur, do not withhold because of a person. Withholding his opinion is also prohibited. That a worthwhile student who understands the case is required to issue his opinion. Incidentally, this commandment not to be afraid of the litigants applies only after the judge has heard the judgment and made up his mind. As long as he has not heard the judgment, he must not take it on if he does not want. And even if he has begun, if he has not yet determined his opinion, he is not required to sit and listen to the case if he is afraid. However, this only applies when there are many judges. If there is a judge who has been appointed by the community to decide all cases, then he is in any case forbidden from withdrawing himself from the case for fear of what will happen to him. The last mitzvah of today's portion is Prohibition 274, the prohibition against bribery. This severe prohibition, which is mentioned many times in the Tractate Sanhedrin, is repeated twice in the Torah. Once in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 8, V'sheichad leisikach, do not take a bribe. And again, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Rambam tells us, it's evidently referring to chapter 16, verse 9, that it is repeated, this prohibition against taking a bribe. And the Sifri points out that this, that we say a judge should not take a bribe in order to change his previous opinion, that's obvious. Well, a judge is not allowed to change his opinion and turn away from the proper judgment. The Sifri states this prohibition is even to render a valid judgment, to declare the innocent one innocent and the guilty one guilty, or the one who owes the money, the one that doesn't owe the money, even if another party gives him money to issue a righteous judgment, this is also prohibited. The Talmud tells the story of Rabbi Yishmael, who had a person who worked his farm and every Friday would deliver the fruits from the farm. One Thursday, the farmer came earlier and brought the fruit on Thursday. And Rabbi Yishmael asked, why did you come early? So the farmer told him, since I have a court case today, I thought I would bring it today instead of having to make the trip twice. Rabbi Yishmael thought, he has a court case, maybe he's bringing it earlier to try to bribe me. Therefore he said, first of all, I cannot sit on your case, and second of all, I'm not going to take the fruit today. I will take it only tomorrow. And Rabbi Yishmael asked other judges to sit in for him on the case. And however, he sat in and listened to the case, and he found himself finding all sorts of arguments to support his farmer. And Rabbi Yishmael later on told his students what had happened. And he said, look, this food belonged to me. It was my farm. And second of all, it was only brought a day early. And third of all, I didn't even take it. Yet I see how I was influenced and how I was trying so hard to find arguments to support his case. How terrible a real bribery is, and how severely it must influence the judge's outlook on the case. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor the shiur, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436, and please join us again tomorrow.